Hey everyone, Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the podcast. Hey, this is a special interview for me. I'm interviewing a buddy of mine, Brent Payne, who I first met 9 years ago in 2008. I'm not going to give you all the story now because we go into that right at the beginning of the podcast, but this is what happens when you go for your dream. This is what happens when you stay in the game. This is what happens when you have faith that you can actually do what it is that you want to do in your life. Brent and I connected in a very unconventional manner. It changed my career, changed my business, catapulted me onto the stages of the world, and it changed my life. And you're going to learn how that all happened and all about mindset, overcoming adversity, procrastination, being successful, earning millions, which Brent has done, losing millions, which Brent has done, all of that. And I know you're going to relate to this message. So here you go, the Everyday Saturday Podcast.
Welcome to the Everyday is Saturday Podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Everyday is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hey everyone, Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Great to have you inside of Saturday Nation. And today's got a great day, man. Today is going to be a great podcast. I've got a friend of mine who I first met 9 years ago. His name is Brent Payne. I'm going to bring him out in just a second here. And Brent didn't know this. I'm not sure when I told Brent this. I sure as hell couldn't tell him this when it was happening. But Brent gave me really my big break in the speaking industry. So those of you that have either seen me speak on any one of the stages in Australia, UK, North and South America, bought my speaker training course, any one of the 15 million downloads of this podcast, you know, it all really goes back to the summer of 2008. That was when it really turned. Let's bring them out. Brent Payne, are you with me?
I am, Sam. How the heck are you, bud?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. So I don't know if you ever knew that. I think I've told you that because I probably thanked you 8 million times since then. But I want to take you back to the summer of 2008. You were running a really large online company, and you managed to get like 1,500 people at an event in Hawaii. I mean, most people can't get 15 people to go to a hotel meeting in their backyard, okay? And I got a call from whoever you hired to book speakers. And this is so crazy because it's just nuts. And they said, hey, we'd like to hire you to speak at the Hilton Hawaiian Village in Waikiki next month. I know it's short notice, but can you make it? And at the time, I had just finished shoveling sidewalks in my hometown of Bradford, PA for my rental properties. I'd been podcasting for a couple of years, trying to break into this whole speaker agency thing. And I'm like, let me check my calendar. Yes. Yes. I think I'm free. I think I'm And dude, can you believe number one, that was 9 years ago?
No, I can't. That's when you said that earlier. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No, it's unbelievable how fast time flies, man.
And what was your thought? Because the other guy speaking at the event, you may not even remember. I remember it like it was yesterday because it was a turning point in my career, really my life mainly. And the other person had appeared in The Secret. And at the time, you got to go back to 2008. The Secret was the rage. I mean, everybody was on Oprah. And the book and the movie were just lighting it up. Secret, 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 law of attraction, all that stuff. And then Sam Crowley. Did you have any reservations like, who the hell is this guy? And what's he doing at my event?
So I was told that, you know, by some of the guys that I work with, hey, we found this guy, Sam Crowley. He's good. I think he's new to the scene, but I think he's going to do us a great job. I'm like, okay, cool. I went and researched you a little bit. I'm like, all right, I got it. Let's bring this guy in. Let's have some fun. And I remember meeting you at the welcome reception. you walked out and I'm like, hey, what's up, champion? And you're like, so this is it, huh? And you're looking around. We were outside, you know, like, as you said, about 1500 people. You look around and you're like, okay, so this is it. This is a big event, huh? I'm like, yeah, this is what we do, buddy. You ready? And you killed it. People loved you, brother.
Dude.
Loved you.
That was mainly out of, I think, fear and, oh my God, if I'm going down, I'm going down in a blaze of glory. So, but let me tell you the backstory of that. I got there the day before everybody else got there. And then I kind of hung out. I'd never been to Hawaii. I mean, I'd never been to Hawaii in my life. And so I'm taking this 10.5-hour flight from Atlanta. I went from Cincinnati, Atlanta to Honolulu. And I'm on a flight. I'm like, damn, this is a long trip. Hawaii, like, oh my God. And then the limo driver picks me up. They had the sign. I'm like, nobody's ever, I mean, I can't even get my buddies to come pick me up at the airport. I got a guy with a limo there with my name on it. And I'm sitting around the pool the next day and everybody's starting to come in and everybody's starting to, you know, they got their Hawaiian shirts and they got their programs. And I had sent a bio in and they said, send us your bio. And so it was like a page long. I mean, I wrote everything I could back to like high school of everything I've ever done. And then the other person's bio was like 6 pages and all. Like, oh God. And so there was these two older ladies and they had the floppy hats and they're drinking the umbrella drink and they're talking about the first person there. Like, oh my God, he was in The Secret. I know him, Margaret. Oh my God. Look at Sam Crowley. Who in the hell's Sam Crowley? And I'm sitting behind him at the pool and my stomach just went up into my throat and I just kind of put my baseball hat down to my nose and walked up to my room and about vomited for about the night. And then at the event, when I spoke, I remember I got to speak for 2 hours and then we take a break and then it's another 2 hours and it's a 4-hour event. And I'm like, holy cow. And after about 5 minutes, and this is how you know, and this is what I want to get into it with you. This is how you know you've arrived at this every day is Saturday moment, when you actually get to do what you love to do, you get to add tremendous value, you bring incredible passion, and people receive it. I'm telling you, man, if I could bottle that moment in my life and take it with me every day, I would do that. And then I remember you coming backstage after we took a 15-minute break. You're like, dude, they freaking love you. You're crushing it out there. And I was just like, oh my God, thank God. This is awesome. And then it just went into the next day or the next 2 hours. And then we had the luau afterwards and everybody was just fired up. I'm telling you, man, if I know I've said it 1,000 times, thank you so much for bringing me in. Cause that literally changed my life. It was amazing.
Dude, it was our pleasure, honestly. And like I said, then I'll say it again, you killed it. And the cool thing is you changed a lot of people's lives there. I still talk to people that were at that event that still talk about you. You were very, very impactful to a lot of people. So there was a lot of life changing going on in that event, man, mine included.
Yeah, there really was. It was just crazy. And so, you know, here we are. I left Hawaii. You left Hawaii. You went on to build several different businesses. We'll talk about that as well. I've gone on to continue the Everyday Saturday brand. And here we are picking back up again, doing a, you know, we've never had a podcast together. I've never interviewed you on the show. I'm looking forward to this. So tell me, what's a day in the life look like for Brent Payne right now? Fast forward to the end of 2017. What's a day in the life look like for you?
A day in the life of Brent Payne. Well, I don't like routine. So my life is different every single day. I'm focusing on building my new company at this point. So sometimes it's, sometimes I'm wearing the corporate hat. So I'll get up in the morning and I always get my day started with some good personal development, some meditation. It's always a me time. And that usually includes hiking or going for a drive, but I'm always listening to something. And then I may be in the corporate office playing the corporate guy. Sometimes I'm filming some educational videos for our app. Other times I'm traveling. Other times I'm shooting. And then occasionally I get to hang out with my good buddy Sam Crowley and do a podcast, man. So life is good. Life is good.
I've got that boredom thing too. Like, I don't like to do the same thing every day. I get bored so easily. It sounds like you've got a little bit of that. Do you think that's inherent in entrepreneurs? Like, meaning, first of all, let me ask you a question before that. Have you ever had a job? Number one, what do you think about job versus entrepreneurship? And I want to get into that, you know, no 2 days are the same thing, but what do you think about having a job versus being an entrepreneur?
Well, let me go to your first question. I've had many jobs. I started working when I was really, really young. And the reason I've had many jobs is because I get bored and I don't like routines. So I quit a lot of jobs. And I got fired from a few as well. I'm psychologically unemployable.
Yeah, man.
I think for myself and for people like you, people that have that entrepreneurial spirit, jobs are horrible. Jobs suck. I can't even imagine going somewhere, having to be somewhere at a certain time, only being able to take a certain amount of time for lunch. I mean, I look at it as, you know, time is the most valuable commodity I have. I'm going to spend it the way I want to spend it, you know, which is why I got started in the network marketing industry 23 years ago. I have to be my own boss. I do not like anyone telling me what I can or cannot do.
So did you go to college after high school?
No, I didn't even finish high school. I actually dropped out of high school in the 10th grade. Yep.
In what grade?
I know it. 10th.
Wow.
10th grade. Yeah. So, and here's why. I mean, I wasn't that I was just a complete rebel. I was a complete rebel, but there was more to it than that. I was a musician. I'm still a musician. I'm a drummer. And that was my biggest passion. And I actually quit high school to start traveling with my band. I played in a band with some older guys. And I wanted to play music. And I was like, okay, this school thing is kind of getting in the way. And they're telling me when I have to be here and when I can take a lunch. We've already discussed, I don't like that. So I'm like, okay, this doesn't work for me. So I dropped out of high school, man. And I went on tour. I toured all over the world until I was about 26 years old.
Wait, hold up. So back up. So what did your parents say?
Oh, man, they disowned me. You kidding me? It was bad. So at the age of probably 17, I was basically kicked out of my house. You know,
wow.
And my dad was like, look, in my house, you go to school. These are my rules. So if you're not going to school, and I'm, you know, I was like, screw that. I'm not going back to school. He's like, all right, you know, pack your stuff and get out. And by the way, that's not your car in the driveway. That's mine. Like, you kidding me? You're taking my car? He goes, no, that's my car. The school of hard knocks.
I'm literally squirming in my chair right now.
Are you really?
Listening to this story. Yeah.
I'm
a little bit uncomfortable. So
why
are
you uncomfortable?
Where'd you go?
So I went and I lived with my singer, who lived in an apartment with a couple of other musician friends and their girlfriends. I remember I put just about everything I own into a big bass drum case. I was allowed to take my drums. That's the one thing that my dad allowed me to take. So I scrambled and put all my stuff in a huge drum case and moved into an apartment and was sleeping on a floor in a room with two other guys. It was a weird, weird time. I didn't know if I was coming or going. I think that that's why I threw myself into music so heavily, because it was do or die for me. I knew that I could not have a job. It just didn't work for me. And I wanted to be a rock star.
Go ahead.
Say again.
No, I was going to say, did you find success at all early on with
I found success with music. I was very blessed. I grew up in Atlanta, and I was very blessed to play with a lot of great musicians. So the bands had success, but success in the music industry doesn't necessarily mean money. Even when I had albums in the record store and videos on MTV, and I was traveling all over the world playing in coliseums in front of tens of thousands of people, I still wasn't making money.
Really?
So, yeah, it's a brutal industry, man.
What was your first indoctrination into personal development? Like, when was it a book? Was it a seminar you went to? When did you finally think, damn, what is this stuff they're talking about?
When I got into network marketing, my first network marketing company that I got involved in, I was placed on a conference call and I listened to all of these people that were having success and they seemed pretty happy. I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I jumped into this network marketing company, never meeting any of these people. They lived all over the country, all over North America. And then I went to my first event in Jamaica. And I just started having conversations with these people. And I had never been around individuals who were so positive and had such an amazing outlook on life and were getting great results because of it. And I became really intrigued with the mind. Now, what I started to say earlier was one of the first lessons I learned in music is anything. And my dad taught me this at an early age, anything that you put your mind to, you can do, you know, and you got to bust your ass. I mean, a lot of people think, okay, especially since, you know, there's been these movies that come out that talk about the law of attraction. They think that you can just focus on your navel and things are just going to appear. You have to work your butt off.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to Jamaica, I met these people and they're like, look, you need to start reading these books. You need to start listening to these audio CDs. And that's what did it for me. And then I was forced basically to do this 3-day personal development seminar that was very much in your face, which for me and my personality type, that's how I learn. And those 3 days completely transformed my life. Wow. And then my biggest passion became teaching people that you don't have to live this way. If you're not happy, you can change it, man. Like, you just have to figure some things out within your mind and make your mind your biggest ally instead of your enemy.
Wow. That's powerful. I get that. I definitely receive that message. First of all, station identification, Sam Crowley from the Everyday Saturday podcast, chat with my buddy Brent Payne, reconnecting after 9 years. Brent's the guy that gave me my big break in speaking. Hey, by the way, Brent, people want to connect with you online. How do they get a hold of you or a website, or how they go about that?
You can reach me via email at Brent, B-R-E-N-T, at vimnow.com. That's V-I-M, as in like Vim bigger, V-I-M-N-O-W.com. And of course, if you want to check out the website, it's vimnow.com.
Vimnow.com, V-I-M-now.com. Hey, were you ever, speaking of you, first of all, you just came back from Tony's event, Tony Robbins, right? Was it a couple weeks ago?
I did, yeah.
How was that?
Amazing. First of all, on so many different levels. That was my first Tony Robbins event. I'd never been into Tony Robbins before. Actually, the thing that got me into Tony Robbins, honestly, was his documentary. Yeah. I watched that documentary. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's like the real deal. I thought he was this cheesy infomercial dude with big teeth.
Yeah. I think everybody does.
But I'll tell you what. He is the real deal, and it was amazing. It was amazing to experience him and his energy. What was even more amazing to me was how hungry 10,000 people were and how motivated they were, just hungry for a better quality of life. I mean, he keeps you in the room 14, 15, 16 hours a day, and it's freezing in there, dude. I don't know if you've been to a Tony Robbins event, but it's honestly in the 50s. People were wearing hoodies and gloves. They give you gloves in your welcome bag. That's no joke.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, since you asked the question, here's a humble brag. I actually had an opportunity to speak with Tony Robbins and Pitbull in Toronto in March. So that was just stupid. I mean, that's another.
Good for you. Now, that had to have been a big crowd.
Well, 15,000 people. Now, notice I said speak with, not share the stage with. So I was in the program with probably 15, 18 other speakers. Tony was there. Pitbull was another one. They bring in a lot of the big names, and then they fill the 15,000. And then us commoners speakers, we'd speak in breakout rooms. So I spoke two different times in the breakout session. There are probably a couple hundred people in each session in Toronto. But hey.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's incredible. Here's the thing. I didn't get much out of Tony's event only because it was about 3 hours and you could tell he's taken 50 hours of his best stuff and he's trying to condense it into 3 hours, first of all. Right. And I got a little bit of the hero worship feeling coming out from people that just wanted Tony to literally walk on water, bless them, and throw holy water on them. That was my experience in that 3 hours.
Yep. You know? There's a lot of that there. It inspired me. I mean, a lot of the information he talks about is information that I've studied. We've all been studying for a long time, but it was such a great reminder to hear it all again, to participate in those exercises. I went there as a student.
Yes.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
I went there as a student. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to work on me. And, I've been doing this a long time and it's been interesting for me to find new mentors. I believe that you always have to have a mentor, always.
Yeah. Yep.
And I struggled with that for a few years. It's like, okay, you know, where are they? And it was nice to be mentored, man. It was great to be in that crowd.
What was just switching gears a little bit? This question's on my mind. What's the most money you've ever earned in one calendar year, January to end of December?
About $6.2 million.
$6.2 million. What did you think about that? Like at the end of the year, did you look at that amount and say, "Oh my God, I was out of high school at 10th grade. This is ridiculous." And did it change you at all? Like, what type of impact does that kind of money have on somebody like yourself? Maybe nothing, maybe everything.
You asked me a lot of questions here.
Yeah. So, I want to know, man. I'm interrogating you like a hostage. Are you kidding me?
And feel free, brother. I just got to remember these questions. So $6.2 million, no, that wasn't a big deal for me because the year before that I had made like 5.6. So it was only a few $100,000 increase from the year before. You know, when I started my first company within 2 years, I think my second year in business, my net was $1.2 million. That's when I flipped. I was like, holy crap. You know, that was more of a freak out, you know, making seven figures for my first time than making over $6 million. But to answer your other question, what is that like? Dude, I honestly think that everyone should experience, and they can if they choose, a seven-figure year because it really opens up a ton of possibilities. You know, money is power, and money gives you freedom, and it can be used in any way. I believe if you're a good person and you make over $1 million in a year, you're going to find some really amazing things to do with your money that's going to help people and change the planet.
Yeah.
And for me at the time, that's what it did. It just gave me complete freedom, you know, and the convenience. You know, I like toys. I don't brag about them, but I do like toys. So I had a really nice big boat that I got to spend a lot of time in the Caribbean on and in the Bahamas. And that's where I would go to think. It was where I would go to connect with God. That just something about that just... It's a very spiritual thing for me. And the fact that I got to do it on a beautiful boat was nice.
Yeah.
And I got to fly privately. You know, I flew privately with my family for, you know, almost 10 years. Mm. I remember the first time that my daughter flew commercially, she was like, "Dad, why are all these people here?" I'm like,
"Baby, oh boy, yeah.
This is the way. So, you know, and not to be egotistical, that was just my life, bro. That was my life.
No, I get it, man. I get it. Have you ever been afraid of going broke, or maybe you have gone broke and now you don't fear it? What are your thoughts on it?
I did go broke, dude. I lost everything in 2012.
Oh, wow.
Everything. I was selling watches. I had a really, really nice watch collection. You know, I had sold everything else. I was selling watches in order to live. I did that for about a year and a half, trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do.
I'm listening to the podcast. Brent, you've made millions and millions and millions of dollars. What are you doing selling watches? What was that a result of?
In 2009, my whole world crashed. My business partner and I, he wanted to go a completely different direction, and he literally turned against me and turned a lot of people against me. It's a nasty story, but we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Sure.
And at the same time, I got divorced. So I kind of lost a lot of people that I trusted and thought were my friends, and I lost my family. You know, I lost my wife, and I was not living with my children anymore. And I just kind of spun out a little bit. Mm. I was able to sell my company to my business partner, for several million dollars. But unfortunately, after I left, he drove it in the ground and I never got paid. Mm. So I had a pretty hefty lifestyle. I had a lot of real estate all over the place. I had a few mortgages on that stuff. I thought I could keep it and maintain. I launched a new company and my head wasn't there. You actually spoke for that company. You know, we had a small event in Hawaii,
Yep. But
my head just wasn't there. I was still spinning out. And shortly after that, dude, I just hit rock bottom. I, um, I moved to a place a little north from here and said, I've got to figure out who the hell I really am and deal with my own crap, find a mentor, and basically pull my head out of my butt. And it was really, really humbling, dude.
Yeah, no, I get that, man. I totally get that. That's right. That event in Hawaii, Bob Proctor was at that event as well. Had an opportunity to meet Bob for the first time. Yeah, that's pretty wild, man. I had no idea that you had gone through that. And cheers to you for, I mean, not that, you know, we talk every day, but it's typically some people will post out there, you know, going through tough times to, you know, pray for me, something like that. What are your thoughts on social media, by the way? Are you out there a lot? Do you have any particular platform, or what are your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff?
You know, I'm saying things on your podcast that I've never said publicly before in my life, bro.
Let it loose, man.
I'm going to be completely honest and open. I mean, look, these are just my opinions.
Do it. Just be honest.
What they're worth.
Yeah, just be
I think social media is a bunch of I started to cuss. I won't do that here. It's just a bunch of crap. It's a waste of time. I think the way Facebook started for people to be able to connect with their family was great, but it's just turned into just, at least in my world, just a bunch of crap. I think it's a time waster. I think it's negative energy. And if people spent half the amount of time and energy on building their real life as they do their social media profile, they would have a lot more success and be a lot happier.
Ain't that the truth, man? Ain't that the truth? I view it as a necessary evil, just to give my two cents, because I stopped posting on my personal page, really. The only thing I do now is update my family stuff, really, because of the journey we've been through with Susan. And maybe that has a lot to do with it, too. But I get inundated, just like everybody does, and you do as well. You log on, and there's everybody in your face pitching something that they don't even really, they're not even successful at. And, you know, and we're just being authentic. This is like a conversation we'd be having at Starbucks, you and I, just say, hey, so what do you think about social media? My thoughts are use it like a loaded weapon. It can be used for good and it can be used for not so good. And I just think it's pretty invasive when you log on and every sponsored ad, every post, life is beautiful. Here's my ear to ear grin. This is my beautiful spouse. This is my bank account. And it's just, I mean, it's so phony that you really got to sift through a lot of the BS to get to the stuff that really makes social media pretty magical in my perspective. And that is, what are people doing? How are they doing? How are they coping? How are they overcoming adversity and things like that? You know,
well, that's just the thing, though. There's very little authenticity on social media. And that's one of the things in the beginning that turned me off the most, because I would see someone post about how amazing their life is. And I'm like, you're a fraud. I know you personally. I know what's going on in your life. Why are you out there BSing everybody?
Yeah.
You know, well, I don't want to really tell them what's going on. I don't want people to know I'm struggling. Then don't say anything. You're welcome to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Deal with your own stuff. I mean, you know, and I agree with you. It is a necessary evil in today's age. I just don't want to play the game.
You opted out, man. You opted out. That's great.
And here's the thing. I've done a lot of study. You know, I'm big into psychology, and we've been doing a lot of study with my company Vim on the millennials and what drives them. And you know, statistically, right now, more than ever before in our history, people are more lonely now than they've ever been in their life.
Boy, do I believe that.
Mm. They're craving connection. They're craving the human touch. And I just, I know social media is here to stay and there's nothing we can do about that. But I, you know, my goal is to eventually start using social media to get the good out there.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be the one that has to get on social media every day, because then I'll start watching stupid videos and I'll waste 3 hours of my day like everyone else does. I'm like, damn it.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, instead of building your own brand, you're watching, you know, a Boston Terrier skateboard down a driveway. I mean, absolutely. Yes. So that's, I totally get that, man. What is Vim Now? Tell us what that is. What's Vim?
Vim Now is a transformational company. We're an education company that teaches people how to think properly to get the best results they've ever gotten in their life. And we've been able to, we're using technology. We've created an app that it's a tool. It's a delivery system. It's basically designed to give you small doses of personal development to assist you in attaining your goals very, very quickly. It's all based on goal achievement and living a powerful, grateful life.
Yeah. Ever since I've known you, you have been about the mind. Like, you are one focused dude when it comes to mindset. You know, I mean, that's, if you were to say, give me one, just one word, describe Brent Payne, I'd say mindset. Be mindset. Are you, would you say you're obsessed with it, or is it just a passion of yours and something you really believe in a lot? Or are you just like 24/7, man, working on your own, thinking about it, how you can help others?
I'm obsessed. I'm completely obsessed because it kills me. I have a unique ability, which is also a curse, to feel people's energy. And when I experience someone that's struggling, I feel it. And it frustrates me to no end when I know that they can just change some things in their mindset, just the way they view, change their perception, just a couple of minor tweaks, and they could improve the quality of their life tenfold. So I'm obsessed with why people make the choices that they make. And I'm obsessed with helping people realize that they can make different choices that will change their life. And any area of their life, you know, personal relationships, health, your own relationship with yourself, your financial situation, you know, your level of happiness. We're talking authentic happiness.
So let me ask you a question. You and I are hanging out. Hey, Brent, I'm in my job. It's a dead end job. I need the health insurance. I need the 401k. I've been in this thing 20 years. I am scared out of my boots, man. How do I quit my job and go for my passion? I want to, you know, fill in the blank. I want to be a speaker, whatever it would be. I mean, how can you get that 20 years, layers upon layers upon layers of fear, inferiority, just married to the job? What would you say to somebody? Like, how would you help them do that?
It's interesting. You have to learn to use fear as your greatest motivator. And what I tell people a lot is that, you know, fear is something that doesn't exist. It's an emotion that we create. It's created 100% in our own mind. Now, obviously that's from experiences. It's from other people's experiences. It's things that we've been collecting, all this garbage we've been collecting for our entire life, which creates these limiting beliefs, which creates the fear. But we're believing in something that really doesn't exist. Why don't we just believe in faith instead of fear? Because both faith and fear demand that we believe in something that we can't touch, we can't see. It doesn't really exist. And people have no problem having faith, you know, in their religion or their spirituality.
Yeah.
You know, that they feel it. Well, then get rid of the fear and just focus on that and realize that you can take that, those same emotions that's giving you in many cases a physical effect. You know, the mind is powerful. It controls everything. If you can learn just to focus that and harness that to create and stay focused on the positive, you can create anything that you want. And obviously, you know, I'm a big fan of network marketing. So I'd say you better find a great network marketing company so you can make some real money and have free time.
Oh, network marketing's a scam, Brent. Come on. I know my cousin was in that thing and she's got lotions, potions, and pills in her garage. And the only people that ever make any money are the ones that get in early. So save your network marketing talk.
I hear that a lot, Sam.
I bet you do. What do you say about that? What's your network marketing? What are your thoughts? Because I've been in, I think every entrepreneur I know has ever tried it. Some stuck with it. I have a lot of friends in it. It's not my passion right now, but I get it, man. But what do you say to that? Hey, man, 95% of the people never really succeed at that anyway.
Well, it's the 80-20 rule, man. And you know, not only have I been a marketer in network marketing, but I've also owned network marketing companies, very successful network marketing companies. I mean, that's how I was making my millions. It's how I make my money now. I own a network marketing company. You get in what you put out, or you get out what you put in, I should say. And honestly, it's for a lot of people. And that's one of the things, the advantage that we have here is our main product is mindset and personal development. And that's the biggest challenge people have. Like you were talking about a while ago, you know, I've been in my career for 20 years. I've been doing this. I'm scared out of my mind. It's usually the lack of self-confidence, the fear of the unknown, that causes people to slip back into their comfort zone. Even though you're failing miserably in that comfort zone, you're not living your full life, you're not living your purpose, you're basically a prisoner to this job, it's safe. And sometimes that's easier for people. So in order for someone to really have massive success with network marketing, just like anything else, you have to be 100% fully committed. And that includes working on your mindset and treating network marketing like a business. Look, there's no denying network marketing. There are publicly traded companies. There are companies, you look at Amway. They're doing like close to $9 billion a year. There's a ton of people that are benefiting from their products and their income opportunity.
But Brett, I don't want to invite people to my living room, man. I don't want to draw circles on napkins and have a whiteboard in my living room.
You know what? There are so many great systems out there with technology now. It's just made this, industry so much easier and wonderful. But the one thing that you can't get away from with respect to network marketing, if you look at the most successful network marketing companies that are out there, and a network marketing company cannot be successful without successful people, successful independent reps. When you look at them, and it's all of them. If you look at the top 200 companies in the world, all of them build their business by building relationships.
Yeah.
So you can use technology, but you have to build relationships. And you know what? It's not for everyone. Like I'm not the guy that pushes network marketing down anyone's throat. As a matter of fact, people hang out with me. And it was this way when I had my previous company as well. And I mean, we were a huge, huge company, but they'll hang out with me and then all of a sudden they'll realize what I do. And they're like, why didn't you ever tell me? I'm like, it's not for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. No. And I think your friends appreciate that. I think that probably it's like the old thing, you know, you take one step back and someone else takes one step closer to you, you know, when you don't shove that in their face. Hey, I did want to ask you, I meant to circle back to this. So when your dad said, hey, that's my car, take it easy, you're out of here. Did that relationship, did your dad come around maybe after you started making a couple bucks, maybe your first million? Did he say, hey, congratulations, Brent. Good job, man.
That's a great question. So I pretty much lost contact. Not lost contact, but I didn't communicate with my mom or my dad for a long time. Part of that was the main reason of it really was because I was on tour, and this was in the early 90s. We didn't have cell phones, man.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was very difficult. Like if I were going to call them, it was very expensive. You know, I was pretty broke even when I was touring, and I had to use like an AT&T calling card. And
yep.
So I didn't really have a great relationship with them until after I stopped playing music. And that was a complete accident. I went and auditioned for another band after I had quit the previous band I was in, and I didn't get the part. And I was like, wow, that's weird. I've always gotten parts. And my girlfriend at the time said, you know what? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe this is, you know, the good Lord telling you something. And so I said, okay, well, I've always wanted to fly airplanes. So I started flying airplanes. I worked on my pilot's license. I wanted to fly corporate jets.
Of course you did. You worked on your pilot. Of course a drummer. Of course you went from being in a band to work to getting your pilot's license. That makes so much sense.
and I thought that I had to have a high school education in order to get a good job flying airplanes. And so I went back and got my GED, and I sent that to my dad via fax, and he practically started crying. Mm. He's like, oh my gosh, you're 26 years old and you finally graduated high school.
26 you were?
26, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Certainly they must have been just in awe of how big you grew those companies you were involved with the millions and millions of dollars. Were they not?
Oh yeah. They were, you know, I have an amazing relationship with my parents and you know, from the age of 26 on, I always have. And they've been my biggest fans, my biggest supporters, and they've been very proud. I mean, they've come to events where I'm speaking, you know, there's a few thousand people in the audience, and they're just like, I cannot believe this is my son up there on stage. Like, where did you come from? Like, who are you?
Yeah.
But you know what? It's because of my mom and my dad that I am the way I am, honestly. I might not have had the best relationship with them. It was a little tumultuous, but it was my fault, really, mostly. I was a little rebel.
Yeah.
But the lessons that they've taught me, just how to be a good person and do the right thing and the power of the mind, my dad always taught me that. It's like, whatever you want to do. And it kind of sucked because a lot of times I would go to him with a really heavy, heavy problem, at least I thought at that age, you know, when I was younger. And he would say, I mean, this was his best advice to me. You know what, bud? He called me bud. You know what, bud? You'll figure it out. Just pray about it and make sure you keep your priorities straight and just use your mind and figure it out. You'll figure it out. And it was so frustrating to me, but that has served me so well.
Yeah, that's good advice, man. That's sage advice. I mean, what problem? Every problem is a major problem in high school, right? I mean, you know.
Of course.
Now that I got a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, and 12-year-old daughter, everything is, the sky is falling. So yeah. I totally get that.
Hey, I get it.
I'm with Brent Payne, Sam Crowley from the Everyday Saturday podcast. You check out Brent at VimNow, VimNow, VimNow.com. We'll wrap it up in just a few minutes. What are your thoughts? You mentioned having a business partner. I get this question sometimes. What are your thoughts on partnerships?
I think partnerships are amazing. My partnership with my previous partner was amazing up until a certain point. I just think a partnership is a relationship, and it has to be focused on. You have to make sure that there's open, authentic communication and a ton of respect. I'm super blessed right now with the business partner that I have. She's my dear friend. Her name is Linda Bear. Very, very successful, self-made woman, incredibly powerful, very loyal, and speaks her mind. She's amazing. She also does a lot of training and educational programs for our company as well. I think running with a partner is for me, it's a necessity. I can't be the lone ranger. I like to bounce ideas off of someone, and you know, it's easier for me to run with someone.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. That's good advice. How did you pivot? I didn't go back to that, but how did you pivot in 2012 from when you were broke then to get yourself back on your feet? Like, how'd you do that? Because a lot of people find themselves in that situation. They can't do it.
You know what's interesting? Linda Bear, I met her and we became amazing friends, and she didn't realize this. It's an interesting story. And I don't think she would mind me sharing this, but she, you know, I had obviously gone through a pretty hard time. I was rock bottom and, you know, lost everything, lost relationships. Well, she had tragically lost her husband just a couple years prior. And she was still mourning and going through a tough time. And we actually helped each other through this tough time and built an incredible bond. She's the one that, you know, because I kind of had a crummy attitude. I didn't really realize it. But she was a friend that would take a stand for me and say, look, you shouldn't think about things this way. This is not who you are. She really helped me get my mindset right and taught me, most importantly, to be grateful, because I had kind of forgotten. I was a little, you know, I was a little sour because of, you know, the way things had went down. And just, you know, she taught me to be grateful.
Yeah. And then that's it. Boy, that's amazing how people come into your life at a certain point in time when you really need them as well. And if you're ready, sounds like you've always been ready too, man. Like, you've been present. You don't strike me as a guy that lives too far into the future. Like, you strike me as a guy, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, you try to squeeze that last bit of toothpaste out of the tube today.
Absolutely. I plan for the future. I'm a planner. I have to know where I'm going, but I use every bit of effort I can to stay 100% present. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. And I think we've all lost people, and you know, all of a sudden they're just gone. They've died. It's like, wow, if I'm going to live, I'm going to live, and it's going to be right now. That's why I get so frustrated when people complain about their jobs and they complain about their life and they're just wasting time. I'm like, my gosh, just like, make a different choice.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you stand for. Look at you. Every day is Saturday. You looked at your kids and you're like, okay, today is Saturday. And you know what? Every day is going to be Saturday. So kudos to you, brother.
Yeah, man. Thank you. You know, and even if it's not, because look, we don't, the world, it's a fallen world and there is struggle involved, but I do believe in what you're talking about, that you have to really make a choice every day that you're going to fight your ass off to get through that day. and make it great, and whatever that looks like that day. We've had some very dark days the past few years with our daughter, who was born just at 1 pound. And, you know, that is really believing in something you can't see. You talk about having faith. And I think that's when it hit me as well, that if I can just focus on that, because we had three other girls at home and we had to get them from school and still have to make dinner and do homework and all that stuff and spend 6 hours every day for 220 days at Children's with our daughter. Like, if we can just get through that, hell, we can do anything, man. You know?
Yeah.
And we got through that. And now here we are 3 years removed. And it's not like life is perfect. And I never even say that. I don't say it's perfect, but boy, it's a hell of a lot better than it was, at least when I was growing up, you know? And I think that if you want to be a speaker, a thought leader, a trainer, a seminar leader, be in network marketing, be your own boss in any facet, you've got to burn that bridge, man. You have got to really commit to it. Because if you don't, you're just half-assing it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And half-ass doesn't work.
It doesn't.
It just doesn't work.
I think that's a bumper sticker. Yeah,
it
doesn't
is.
Work. But man, I think back to 9 years ago, Brent. I'm really happy we connected back then. I thank you once again for bringing me to Hawaii. It was a life-changing experience for me, and one that I'm always grateful for. I still, and it happened as recently as just a month ago, somebody reached out to me and said, I saw you speak in Hawaii in July of 2000. I'm like, good Lord, lady, that was 9 years ago. But that was awesome, man. It's just so powerful when you really step out. That was faith. That was faith. You had faith and had to have faith in a guy you never even heard of. And then I had to have faith that all this talk I was doing and the podcasting, that I could actually put it into action on a stage in front of 1,500 people and not pass out. And that's just great, man. I just love that God brought you and I together. And I wish you nothing but the best, man. Nothing but the best.
Sam, I appreciate that, brother. And I tell you what, I'm honored to be here and I'm proud to call you a friend. And it's been great. That's one thing I am grateful for, social media. I've been able to watch you through social media. It's been great to watch you change lives all over the world, dude. So kudos to you. Don't stop, brother.
No, I won't. I won't. I will actually keep going. And Brent, check him out at vimnow.com and keep an eye on Brent. Everything that he creates is all about helping you plow through adversity and just harness your power. So on behalf of Brent Payne, Sam Crowley for the Everyday Saturday Podcast, have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday Podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.